Welcome to Servcast. Thank you for joining me. This is Student Spotlight. My guest today is Sarah Saja, and I'm sure she'll be proud that I pronounced that name right. Right, Sarah?
Yeah, you did great.
Welcome to Servcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Now, you're a senior. You're graduating in May. You're a biology major.
Mm-hmm.
Why in the world biology? What are you doing?
It's the same thing a lot. The dream is to go to med school. We're making progress there, but I haven't firmly decided on that yet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, time will tell. So,
right.
You were recently part of a Q Union student group that spoke here at Lee University campus. What was that like? What is that for, and what was it like?
Yeah, I definitely am not someone who likes being on the stage, but it was just really cool, a very cool process to be a part of. We were part of a 6-week training program with the Q Union team that actually is based in Nashville. And so they would kind of send us prompts every week of like things that we need to get done and like speakers that they wanted us to listen to. But it was really cool just to like work together with the two other students and like with the student development office and kind of create our topics.
I really like the way you approach your speech, and I'm a talker as well from the stage, and so I was particularly thankful that you started out with a story, and I was also very glad that you came back to the story, and her name is Jolene. Who in the world is Jolene? And tell us a little bit about, you know, your parents migrated from India to here in 1995, I think, and so bring us up to speed on that story for a few minutes.
Yeah, so my family's from Vijayawada, India. My dad felt the call of ministry on his life, so he came to the States, actually, to start a church. And so my parents immigrated here in 1995. They moved to Clarkston, Georgia. And my dad was in seminary at the time, and he didn't have a car. And so one of our friends had invited us to go to church with him. And so my parents walk into the church, and we meet this lady named Jolene. And so this was a predominantly white church. We were probably the only colored family there.
Sure.
And so she was instantly like, wow, who are these people? Like, wanted to get to know us. And from that very moment, she really invested into my sister and brother and was just like poured into them a lot. But my parents were just very drawn to the fact that she didn't care that we were poor. She didn't care that we lived in like this small, tiny apartment. She would come over all the time. But just the impact that she made on her life because she was so willing to get out of her comfortable lifestyle and to work through cultural differences what really like astounded my parents.
One of the quotes from your talk that you did recently here at Lee, and I really like this quote. You said that Jolene didn't see us as a charity case.
Right.
She wanted to be our friend.
Yeah.
How is that applicable to our life today?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of shame that comes with poverty. Just that, like, it becomes an identity. The shame becomes an identity for us. But she was so willing to look past that. For her, that wasn't our identity. She saw us as individuals, and I think that really transforms the way that we look at friendship. Are we going to see people as the things that they have, or are we going to see people as people, you know? And so she was willing to move past that.
What were some of the specific things that Jolene did that convinced your parents that she really, her motives were right and she really cared about you as people?
Yeah, I think just the willingness to come into our home. There are obviously very different cultural practices, and Indian cultures is very different from American culture. Mm-hmm. And my parents had just immigrated here, so they were not familiar with American culture at all. But just her willingness to work through that, and like when she made a mistake, she would always ask why it was wrong, and wanted to understand our culture. You know, she wasn't ever defensive about what she believed, but she wanted to really move past just all of the differences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you could definitely tell by the like her tone of voice, her willingness to understand that she really saw us as people.
So in your talk, you pitched this idea of who's in your circle.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about this, your concept of the circle, and you know, maybe when you first got to Lee, you talked a little bit about your whole idea of, you know, people that were different from you, whose theological beliefs were different from you, and there wasn't really space in your circle for that. Talk to us. Pitch your idea for a couple of minutes to us about this whole idea of a circle and how do we develop in community in the mindset of that.
Yeah. So essentially, when I say a circle, it's basically who is your circle of friends. And as I looked into my own life, I began to recognize that everyone within my circle looked like me or they thought like me. For my entire life, all of my friends had been internationals. I'd never had white friends until I came to Lee, because these are the people who made me feel comfortable. You know, they didn't question the things that I did or like what I believed. These are the people that made me feel at home. And so when I say who's in your circle, essentially I'm saying, like, do the people in your circle look like you? Do they act like you? And do they think like you? And as I spent some time observing that, I came up with these three behaviors that I found to be quite common. Mm-hmm. The first one that we see is friendship as a gateway to a conversion. I think the desire to share the good news is a God-given desire, and it's a very beautiful desire. But sometimes we have this desire to share the good news before we have this desire to be someone's friend. And so when we look at the life of Jesus, we see that oftentimes he ate dinner with his friends before he shared the good news. So there's always an invitation into the table before there's an invitation into salvation.
Good.
And so one quote that I found that I really liked was when Jonathan Merritt, he says, "If the faithful only build relational bridges with those who are open to converting, we'll find it increasingly difficult to exist in a pluralistic post-Christian culture." And so I think that really applies to the culture here at Lee, because this is a Christian school. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, after we move on, are we going to incorporate people into our circles who are non-believers?
Right.
And if they don't ever want to know about the good news, are we just going to forsake them, or are we still going to pursue them?
And even valuing those that are not necessarily professing believers who are in our student body. Right,
right. Okay. Very much so. And so from that, I went on to the second behavior of just kind of this confusion or this fog of, can I be in the world and not be of the world without being world-ish? Can I have friends who are non-believers, friends who don't agree with me? Because our culture is very much, to be someone's friend is to agree with them. Mm-hmm. To love someone is to agree with them. And I think it's important to have people in our circles who think differently than us. And I made the point to even go as far to say that if everyone in your circle is Christian, then you might be missing the point of following Jesus.
I like that.
Thank you. And I just think that it's important to have those people in our circles, and that we should be able to have normal conversations with them, you know, on things that we disagree about. Can we move from a place of debate to a place of dialogue? And the last behavior that I talked about was just the fear of inviting in people who don't look like you. We're afraid of asking the wrong questions. It's a natural human tendency, and so we don't ever end up asking at all. But in actuality, I think we'd find it very surprising that people want to share their culture with us, but they have to be asked the appropriate questions, and they have to be given the appropriate space. And so I made this really applicable to Lee, and so I looked at the diversity statistics here for my freshman year, and only 140 out of 829 students make up the minority population. And so are we willing to, you know, are we willing to acknowledge these people? Are we going to continue to look over them? Are we going to see them as individuals, even though the population is small?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are the three points that I touched on in my talk.
Good stuff. Let's unpack for just a minute this whole idea of the majority and the minority. Now, obviously, I often say this, and I say it laughingly and in jest, I guess, but I'm a dying breed. I'm a middle-aged white man in a sweater vest, right? So I'm a dying breed. But my concern is, what as a minority, right, what's the responsibility of the minority to let someone like Jolene or someone like me who wants to bridge, you know, or step into the circle or invite, you know, a minority group into our circle? What's the responsibility of the minority? We hear a whole lot about what's the responsibility of the majority, right?
Right.
But I think there's a responsibility on the minority as well. Mm-hmm. What does that look like?
Definitely. It's all based on trust. And with trust comes hurt. And people are going to ask the wrong questions. But it's the willingness of the minority to be offended. And in that, are you going to choose to have an unoffendable heart? Are you going to be okay with people asking the wrong questions? Are you going to be okay with being offended? Because a lot of times when we try to work past those differences, there's always going to be misunderstandings. But we have to choose the side of being unoffended. And there's going to be hurt that comes. People, when you trust people, there's always hurt that comes with that. But I think also sometimes we wait for the majority to pursue us, but are we willing to take that step to kind of incorporate ourselves into the majority? Are we going to move past our circle of all the people who look like us mm-hmm. into the circles of people who don't look like us?
So what does it look like when it's not working out, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, you're speaking with such confidence, okay? You're speaking with, obviously, personal experience. But what's it like when all of a sudden this isn't going to work out? I'm mm-hmm. not going to be allowed in the circle. They're not going to be part of my circle, mm-hmm. right? How do you deal with that? Does mm-hmm. that make sense? You know, how do you face the reality that not everybody's going to be able to be trusted a second, third, and fourth time?
Right.
Right. How do you deal with the fact that not everybody's motives are innocent?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do in a situation like that?
That's really hard. It's really hard to know.
And I don't know the answer. That's why I'm asking you.
I don't know the answer either.
Biology majors are smart people, Sarah. Come on.
Oh gosh. It's really hard to know people's motives.
Yeah.
I think just. It's just the willingness. Okay. Are you okay with being hurt?
Mm.
But also, are you willing to grow through that? But also, I think something really important is, are you going to give it another chance? So
okay.
if you try to incorporate yourself into a group of people who are very different than you and it doesn't work out, are you going to try again? Or are you going to stop there?
Mm-hmm.
I think that plays a really big role. Are you going to... Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be with the same group of people, but
sure.
is there another place that you can start over?
Yeah. As speakers, we often convict ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
So having done your speech already, what's something that you're taking away from your own speech mm-hmm. that you're applying in your life today?
Yeah. Oh, man. as I was writing this speech, this was something that was very convicting to me as I was doing this. So it was... I almost was like, do I need to talk about this? Because this is very much something that I'm still in the process of learning.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I still have a hard time incorporating people into my circles who are more liberal in their theologies. Because mm-hmm. for me, it's just the issue of I want to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think definitely just learning to move from that place of debate to dialogue. And what does it look like for me to have friendships with people who don't agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always have to can I have conversations on just regular life? Like, we don't always have to talk about mm-hmm. the things that we disagree on. But for me, I think right now, just learning what does it mean to love them well by just having normal, everyday conversations with mm-hmm. them. Yeah.
Well, from what I know of you, it's quite obvious that you've been very capable of doing that. And you're actually a peer influencer as it relates to the whole idea mm-hmm. of loving others well. But closing remarks, what final advice would you want to give to incoming freshmen at Lee University and people who, you know, may be trying to navigate this terrain themselves?
Yeah, I think, gosh, man, there's so many things I want to say, but always do something different.
Yeah.
You know, do what your friends aren't doing, you know, go the other way, go to the places where it's not crowded, you know,
mm-hmm.
Pursue the people who are always like left behind. Sometimes you are that left behind person,
mm-hmm.
But you'll see other people that are left behind, pursue them, like be friends with people. Yeah, there's just like, do the things that scare you.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the things that make us grow the most. I think that's what I would say, do the things that scare you.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you well in your pursuit of whatever would be next after Lee University, and hopefully on your slow progress to med school, you'll be able to get there sooner than later, right?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yes, hopefully sooner than later.
Hey, guys, thanks for joining us today on Servcast. As we say at the end of every episode, you are made for more. So remember, someone out there needs the goodness that you can give to them. Hey, don't be shy with it. As Sarah said today, if someone's not willing to reach out and invite you into their circle, be proactive. Reach out and step into theirs. Have a great day.